This morning I continue to preach the gospel as we find it in the book of Ruth. This morning we pay attention to Ruth chapter 3, but before we read Ruth 3, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25, starting at verse 5, hear the word of the Lord. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town gate and say, "My husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me." Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, "I do not want to marry her," his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, "This is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line." That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. We now turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth 3. Ruth 3, we start at verse 1. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you, where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. So far, the reading of God's word, may the Lord bless it unto our hearts. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we'll sing together hymn 23. Hymn 23, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, nobody enjoys being a project for a matchmaker. If you would be single, if you would be visiting with friends or relatives, and if you would discover that they have arranged for you to meet somebody who they regard as suitable, then knowing that they are watching you, and hoping that you will head it off together, that would be embarrassing. It would also be meddlesome, interfering. When mothers or older sisters try to matchmake, if you get annoyed at them, they laugh at you. And they tell you it doesn't matter. Why get upset? How infuriating. And so we can imagine, brothers and sisters, when we read verse 1 of our text this morning, when Naomi says to Ruth, "Should I not find a home for you?" Some of us are already rolling our eyes. Some of us are already thinking, "Naomi, why don't you mind your own business?" And when we read what follows, it seems to get worse. It seems to become something more serious than just an innocent exercise in matchmaking. Because what kind of mother would encourage her daughter to wash and perfume herself and put on her best clothes, in other words, doll herself up, and then go visit a man alone in the middle of the night? What kind of a mother would tell her daughter to wait for the man to go to bed and then join him? Naomi, it seems, is encouraging Ruth to throw herself at Boaz in a most undignified and unchristian manner. That might be an effective way to catch a husband, but surely it's not a Christian way. It's not God's way. We can only hope and pray that our text does not say what it seems to say. And in fact, brothers and sisters, when we ask these questions say more about us and about our attitudes than they say about Naomi. Because what Naomi says to Ruth in our text is not indecent. Instead, Naomi is very clearly speaking according to the will of God. Naomi is urging Ruth to do what God has given Ruth to do through his word, and also through his guidance in Ruth's life. Naomi is urging Ruth to do what any God-fearing young woman was supposed to do in that circumstance. I preach to you this morning the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: when God shows his children the pathway of life, that pathway is the pathway of faith and obedience. We pay attention to 3 points. Naomi confesses the way of the Lord. Ruth appeals to the promises of the Lord. And Boaz submits to the command of the Lord. When God shows his children the pathway to life, that pathway is the pathway of faith and obedience. We first see how Naomi confesses the way of the Lord. And in case you're wondering, the questions for the morning sermon are below the liturgy of the afternoon sermon. So you need to go to the back of the liturgy sheet to see the questions. Now at the beginning of our text, Naomi suggests to Ruth, that Naomi should perhaps try to help Ruth find a husband. And this suggestion is not old-fashioned. Instead, it is biblical. Because if God told Adam in Genesis 2 already that it is not good for Adam to be alone, in the New Testament, Paul also told Timothy that women will be saved through childbearing. So it was not good for Adam to be alone. And now it is not good for Ruth to be alone either. Naomi understands that. And therefore Naomi says, Ruth, you need a husband who will care for you. And you need a home that will offer you security and protection. That, Ruth, that is God's way for women. That would also be good for you. Oh, brothers and sisters, let me hasten to say, I did not say that everybody must get married. And I certainly did not say that it is always wrong for a person to remain single. But Ruth is not just any person. Instead, Ruth is a widow, and her husband died before they had any children. And God said in Deuteronomy 25, God said, if a man marries and dies without having a son, then his widow should marry one of his relatives so that with her new husband she can continue the name of her first husband. So according to Deuteronomy 25, Ruth does not have a choice. Instead, she must remarry, not for her own sake and not for the sake of her mother-in-law, but out of respect for her dead husband. And in the third place, we should not exaggerate as if Naomi is telling Ruth to throw herself at just any man, as if Ruth has to get married and it doesn't matter to whom. Not at all. Instead, Naomi is looking at the big picture. For several weeks, Naomi has seen that Boaz is taking good care of Ruth. Boaz told Ruth in chapter 2 that he had great respect for her. And besides, Boaz is a close relative, close enough to carry on the name of Elimelech through Ruth. And so, Naomi can see the hand of the Lord at work. Naomi can see that the Lord has led Ruth to the field of Boaz, and the Lord is bringing Boaz and Ruth together. And if the Lord is making this happen, says Naomi, should I sit back in my chair and do nothing? If the Lord is making this happen, should we not accept this opportunity with open hands? Naomi wants Ruth to get married. First, because Naomi believes that marriage and childbearing is the normal God-ordained way. Second, because of the special command in Deuteronomy 25. And third, because Naomi can see that the Lord is leading things in this way. And we understand, beloved congregation, we understand that if we want to live our lives in a God-pleasing way, there are two distinct factors that both need to be considered. In the first place, what does the Bible say? What does God command or forbid? That's always the most important. But then, in the second place, there is also the question, where is God leading my life? What are my circumstances? Which doors of opportunity is God opening or closing for me? Of course, when we talk about these two factors, what God says in the Bible and how God is leading our lives, of course we may not play the one off against the other. For example, if we can find a job which pays well, but if it requires working on Sundays, we should not say that the Lord is leading us to take this job. We may never disobey the Lord and then blame him for leading us on the path of disobedience. Or if we are single, and if we know a man or a lady who is not a Christian, we may not say that the Lord is bringing us together. If we disobey the Lord, we do wrong. But if we blame him for leading our lives to that act of disobedience, our sin becomes much greater. And so, in our text, it is totally fair of Naomi to say that the Lord is leading this, and Ruth should follow. It is totally fair of Naomi to say that the Lord has opened this door, and Ruth should walk through. But sometimes the Lord does not open doors, and then Christian men and Christian women must stay single because the Lord does not give them a partner. And then, brothers and sisters, then better to accept how the Lord leads our life than to disobey the Lord by entering a marriage which is not pleasing to him. Naomi urges Ruth to wash and perfume herself and put on her best clothes before she goes out to see Boaz. We read that and we wonder. We say, Naomi, you are asking for trouble, putting Ruth and Boaz into temptation. But understand, brothers and sisters, because Deuteronomy 25 says that Ruth must marry a relative of Elimelech, and because Boaz is such a relative, Naomi wants Ruth to present herself to Boaz as a bride. Ruth must present herself to Boaz as a bride adorned for her husband. And this is the gospel, brothers and sisters, the gospel of Christmas, the gospel of eternal life, the gospel of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the true bridegroom, and the church is his ultimate bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved his bride so much that he came down from heaven. He was born in a stable, and he took upon himself our sins and our troubles and our pain. And then he went to the cross to save us from the guilt of sin and the punishment of hell. Jesus Christ loves his bride with a vast and unending and self-sacrificing love, even unto death. And behold, the church responds. The bride of Christ responds like a bride who prepares herself for her bridegroom. And we see it happening on Christmas Eve. The shepherds go to Bethlehem. They worship the Lord. The shepherds, they represent the bride approaching her bridegroom. Also the wise men, they came from the east. They brought with them gold and frankincense and myrrh, the wealth of the treasury. The wise men, they also represent the Catholic Church, the bride worshipping her bridegroom. And in our text, already more than 1,000 years before that, a woman from the land of Moab, she also comes to Bethlehem, and she comes to Boaz, who is the great-grandfather of King David, who is an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. She comes as the bride adorned for her husband. And this confronts us with the question, brothers and sisters, how do we present ourselves to God? With what attitude, with what thought do we meet with God? Brothers and sisters, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And so, of course, before we come to church on Sunday, we wash ourselves. We put on our best clothes. Because we are the bride of Christ, and we understand that when we come to church, we meet with our bridegroom, we present ourselves to him, and so it is fitting that we adorn ourselves in the most glorious way. And of course, we do understand that we live before the face of God every day and not just on Sunday. We do understand that the holiness which God requires of us is not just outward clothing. Instead, he wants clean hearts, holy lives. That matters. And that matters much more than clean clothes. True, true. Also very true. But God himself appointed the weekly worship service as a time of meeting, as a time of fellowship where he meets with his bride. God himself appointed the weekly worship service as a foretaste of the perfect peace and the eternal joy which we will receive at the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so it is fitting that we adorn ourselves with holiness and with humbleness and with peace and with love every Sunday again, like Naomi told Ruth, to adorn herself for her bridegroom. And now, just one more little thing must be said, brothers and sisters. The Bible does not really speak about us adorning ourselves and presenting ourselves to God as a holy congregation, cleansed from our sins and pure in the sight of God. No, not us adorning ourselves. Instead, Paul tells the Colossians that Jesus Christ is adorning us, and he is presenting us to God as holy and blameless and irreproachable. And Paul writes to Timothy about God sanctifying us and God keeping us whole and blameless. The point is that Jesus Christ died to save us from sins. And today Jesus Christ is still our Savior. He is still working with us, for us, in us, to renew us, to sanctify us. Because Jesus wants to save us completely, and he wants to present us to God perfect. So what shall we do? Where shall we focus our efforts and our energy? Again, beloved congregation, we need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, in the promises of God, in the decrees of God, doing what we can, so that we might know him better, so that we might love him more, so that we might live more consciously by faith in him. And then, when we focus on him, then Jesus Christ, who has begun a great work in us, giving us faith, he will continue to work in us, and he will cause us to grow in our service of God. The gospel of the glorious bride of Christ is not a story of a woman who stands in front of a mirror for a long time, fixing herself to make herself beautiful. No, the bride of Jesus Christ listens to her bridegroom and is always listening to her bridegroom, letting him do his work in her heart, in her life. Now, in our second point, we will see how Ruth appeals to the promises of the Lord. When Naomi tells Ruth what Ruth has to do, Ruth does not say, "Mind your own business, stop interfering." Instead, Ruth says, "I will do whatever you say." Ruth did not grow up in Israel, you see. She does not know what God has promised her or what God requires of her. But Ruth does want to learn God's way, and she wants to live God's way. In this way, Ruth is a humble example for every child of God. I will do whatever you say. And so Ruth goes to the threshing floor. Because there is hardly any wind during the daytime, Boaz is working nights. With a fork, he throws the grain up into the air and lets the wind carry the empty husks away. But later, when the wind dies down, Boaz goes to bed. And Ruth follows him. She lies down at his feet. When Boaz notices Ruth, he asks who she is. And Ruth answers Boaz. She says in verse 9, Ruth says, "It is a struggle, Boaz, for me to make a living, especially when I also have to look after my mother-in-law. It is a struggle. But," Ruth says, "remember, Boaz, what you said to me in chapter 2 about taking refuge under the wings of the Lord? Remember, Boaz, how you assured me that the Lord would repay me for the good I had done for Naomi? Now I believe, Boaz, I believe that the Lord will keep these promises, but I believe he's going to do that through you. I believe that the Lord will spread out his wings over me, Boaz. I believe that the Lord will spread out his wings over me by having you spread out your wings over me. The Lord will provide for me. When you provide for me, the Lord will protect me by having you protect me. You are my kinsman redeemer, Boaz. And so, whatever the Lord will give to me, he will give through you. Boaz, it's easy for you to talk piously about the goodness and the love of God. It's easy for you to tell me to trust in the Lord. But now, Boaz, put your money where your mouth is and show me that you really care and that you really believe it. Show me that you take the word of God just as seriously in your own life." And this is a challenge that we all face, brothers and sisters. Sunday after Sunday, we pray for different people in the church. We always pray for God to comfort those who are lonely or struggling. But how do you think that God is going to do that? Doesn't God do that through the elders and the deacons, and even more through the communion of saints? If we dare to pray for God to strengthen those who are struggling and those who are depressed, what are we doing to support those people ourselves? Remember, about 6 weeks ago, I encouraged us all to reach out to other people in the congregation beyond our circle of our normal friends and acquaintances. Brothers and sisters, reaching out to other people in the church is not an optional extra for some fanatics. No, it should be a normal part of belonging to a church. Pray and work for all the people who belong to our church. And then we notice the lack of romance in our text. We notice that Ruth says nothing about being in love with Boaz. Obviously, for Ruth, the issue is not how she feels about Boaz. Instead, the issue is Deuteronomy 25, remember? The Lord commanded that Ruth should marry somebody of Elimelech's family. And that means, if Ruth wants the Lord to protect her and provide for her, it cannot be on Ruth's terms. Ruth cannot say, "I want to marry this kind of a person," or "I want to have that kind of a life, and then I still expect the Lord to care for me." No, Ruth must do obediently what the Lord gives her to do, because only, Only if she walks in the way of the Lord can she expect his blessing. And in the same way, beloved congregation, as Church of Jesus Christ, we receive many blessings, the forgiveness of all our sins, the grace of the Holy Spirit, and peace with God, and peace with our neighbors as well. But if we want to enjoy all these blessings, we cannot write our own program for our life. We cannot just live our life the way that seems the most convenient for us. Instead, Ruth receives the grace of God when Ruth discovers how God wants to bless her. And Ruth receives the grace of God when she walks in the way of the Lord. And in the same way, God will bless us when we submit to his word, when we let his word govern our lives. God will then bless us through each other. God will make us blessings for each other. If we want to seek shelter under the protective wings of God, one thing is important. That is, that together we obey the word of God, that we look after each other, that we care for each other, that we hold on to God's word as the rule and the promise of our life. In the days of the judges, all the Israelites were doing what was right in their own eyes. But there was a woman. There was a woman who wanted to take refuge under the wings of the Lord. Ruth, the Moabitess, she believed that God would take care of her. Ruth accepted in faith the way how God would take care of her. This Moabite woman, how faithful she was. May God work in our hearts so that we dare to trust him and we dare to do what he commands. Now, in our third point, we will see how Boaz also submits to the command of the Lord. Boaz gives Ruth a compliment. He tells her in verse 10 that this kindness is even greater than the kindness she had shown earlier. That earlier kindness, which Boaz had already mentioned in chapter 2, that earlier kindness was how Ruth had cared for Naomi. But now, says Boaz, now I notice that you are prepared to go even much further. Ruth is even prepared to marry a man she does not love, simply because that is the way of the Lord, the way of Deuteronomy 25. So how does Boaz react to this marriage proposal? In verse 12, Boaz does not say that he wants to marry Ruth. He does not declare his love for her. Instead, Boaz says, yes, I am a near of kin, and so I do have some responsibility for you, but there is another man who is closer. He has greater responsibility, and so that other man should have the first opportunity. But Boaz tells Ruth, if he won't marry you, I will. And again, we underline the fact that the story of Boaz and Ruth is short on romance. And I hasten to add that the marriage of Boaz and Ruth is not a model marriage that we are supposed to imitate. Instead, this lack of romance has got everything to do with the gospel. Because why did Jesus go to the cross to pay for our sins? Why did Jesus bear the wrath of God in our place? Was there something special between us and him? A special relationship that made him do it? Did Jesus see something attractive in us that made him love us and that moved him to sacrifice himself in our place? Of course not. Instead, we all like sheep had gone astray. We had all turned every one of us to our own way. And yet, in spite of our many sins, in spite of our total unworthiness, Jesus took our curse upon himself and he died in our place, so that we might live. just like Boaz was prepared to marry Ruth. Not because he loved Ruth, but because that was the job God gave him to do. In the same way, Jesus died to save us. Not because we believed, not because we served him, not because of anything we did, but that's the will of God. Boaz was prepared to marry Ruth. Boaz would also take responsibility for his mother-in-law. Boaz said, "If this is what God gives me to do, I will do it." And then verse 18 gives us yet another foretaste of the gospel. Naomi talks about Boaz. Naomi says that Boaz will not rest until the matter is settled. Boaz is obviously that kind of a person. When he makes a commitment, he makes sure that the job gets done. That is also the kind of redeemer that we have, brothers and sisters. When Jesus was on earth, he took no time off for himself. He had no time to relax and take it easy. Instead, Jesus was always working, always caring for those who needed him, always busy doing the job God gave him to do. And it was only after Jesus finished paying for our sins, when his job was completely done, he gave up the ghost and he said, "It is finished." As long as there was work that needed to be done, Jesus did not rest. As long as we need him, he continues to work for our good, even today when we face challenges in our lives. When in our daily work, we have to deal constantly with godless and unbelieving people. When we have to struggle with bad habits or temptation, Jesus does not rest. He is working, guiding us through his word, holding on to us by his spirit. Naomi said to Ruth, "You can trust Boaz. He will get the job done. That's the kind of man he is." Truly, beloved congregation, we can rely on Jesus Christ. He takes care of us every day. He never leaves us. That's the kind of Saviour he is. In Ruth chapter 3, when God makes everything work out for Ruth, God gives Ruth a husband and a home. But Ruth does not get the husband and the home in the way that she might like. Instead, God's way is the way of Deuteronomy 25. Ruth must walk that way in faith and obedience. Naomi makes that clear to Ruth. Naomi points out to Ruth that it was the Lord himself who brought Boaz into the picture. And it might very well be that the Lord wants to bring Boaz and Ruth together. So Ruth visits Boaz at night, dressed up like a bride, adorned for her bridegroom. And we saw the beauty of Ruth as a bride foreshadows the beauty of the church as the bride of Jesus Christ. Just as Ruth should be holy and beautiful for her bridegroom, the church today adorns herself with faith and with godly living for the glory of Jesus Christ. Second, we saw that Ruth challenged Boaz, because Boaz complimented Ruth for seeking refuge under the wings of the Lord. Ruth answered him by saying to him, "Boaz, do you really believe that the Lord wants to give me refuge? It seems to me that the Lord wants to give refuge to me through you. The Lord wants you to take care of me and to provide for me." Whether or not Ruth likes this idea, whether or not Ruth loves Boaz, the Bible does not say. Ruth wants to do the will of God. That's important. Ruth believes that the way of faith and obedience always leads to blessing. And in our third point, we saw that Boaz submits to the will of God. Boaz does not tell Ruth that he is madly in love with her, but he accepts his responsibility. He will do the will of his heavenly Father. Surely the Lord will bless him, because the Lord always blesses those who trust him and who do what he commands. that is still his good and gracious promise. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 23, the first three stanzas. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, how great is the love that you have lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Because that is what we are, Father. When we sinned against you, we became your enemies. And then you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay for our sins, to give us life, to make us your children. We thank you for the wonderful gospel of salvation by faith in your Son. And then we were reminded this morning, Father in heaven, that you work for our good in many different ways. Already in the Old Testament, you worked through Naomi and Ruth and Boaz to bring David into the world, to bring your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. You did that for us. We understand that you use people, even sinful people, to do what you plan to do. And so we pray, be pleased to use us as well. Also, when we pray for this congregation, also when we pray for those who are sick or lonely or struggling, when we pray that you will care for our brothers and sisters, Father, when we pray that you will give strength and comfort and encouragement, then we pray that you will do this using us for your purpose, that you will employ us in your service to give strength, to give comfort, to give support, to give encouragement, to give to us all what we need. Father, we thank you that we may belong to a communion of saints, and we pray that this may be a living congregation, that we may serve you by serving each other. Father, be with us all. This morning we spoke about marriage and also a little bit about being single. We pray for our marriage relationships, for husbands and wives. Grant that husbands may love their wives as their own body, and grant that wives may submit to their husbands out of reverence to Christ. We pray also for those who are not married, either still single or single again. Watch over them all and give to us as church community what we need to support all our brothers and sisters, be they single or be they married, be they with family or without. Work in our church community, Father, to build up relationships where we love each other and open our hearts and our homes and our lives to each other. We pray again this morning for Arthur and Wilma DeLue. Watch over them and show them the way forward, Father, that what is broken may be fixed. Also in this, we acknowledge your fatherly goodness and our dependence on you. Lord, you know us all. You know all our circumstances. We acknowledge that we need your grace and your care. We need the guidance of your Spirit. Lord, will you work in us and through us? Be with us now the rest of this day. Give to us all everything that we need. Grant that we may spend this day of rest celebrating your salvation and looking forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Hear us, bless us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing in conclusion Psalm 128. receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.